This is The Book and the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
There's an African proverb that says, when an elder dies, a library burns to the ground. It feels the same way with the loss of a great scholar, such as Israeli archaeologist Gabi Barkai, who passed away in January. That's why we've devoted a series of programs to honor the memory of this distinguished archaeologist, who we were honored to have on our program several times after being our first ever guest 42 years ago. Gabi Barkai was involved in a number of excavations and taught thousands of students, Jewish students at Tel Aviv University and Bar-Ilan University, and American Christian students at the American Institute for Holy Land Studies, later known as Jerusalem University College. He may well be best remembered for the discovery of the Silver Amulet Scrolls, two scraps of silver engraved with the text of the priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6. One person who worked with him at that excavation at Ketef Hinnom was not only a student, but a family friend. John Monson is now a professor of Old Testament and Semitic languages at Trinity International University. As we discussed, a number of scholars at leading institutions were students of Gabi Barkai, so his legacy will continue on for many years.
At one level, when it comes to Jerusalem, and any number of things, archaeological and even, you know, biblical archaeology, we're simply conveying the brilliant thoughts of Gabi Barkai. I mean, that's so that I won't say filters down, but I mean that conveys over to pastors, Bible teachers, literature, the world over.
You sent your students at Wheaton and at Trinity to JUC to study. How many other Christian schools in the U.S. do that? Any idea?
Well, for starters, I've taken thousands of people to Israel, you know, many, many times. Every time, in any way, unless he's completely was unavailable, I would have Gabi speak to my students. Whether it was a pastor's group, an undergrad group, or an advanced PhD seminar, Gabi was willing to do that. We would argue over whether I could pay him to do it. And I've said, well, friendship is friendship and business is business. Come on, man. Yes, he was one of the anchors. But I would say that Gabi was a particularly strong anchor because he was so engaged. He would always say, I love the Institute JUC students because they're so hungry for knowledge. They're so sharp, and many of them know their Bibles. And this is a special gift to be able to, you know, engage them. So I would say he was unique in that way in being very, very consistently engaged in mentoring of many students. Pretty much every student at JUC Institute from the 70s to the mid-2000s teens would have had some exposure to Gabi Barkai, even if it were indirect. Now, one more venue was excavations, so lots of people go on digs. I was his right-hand man at Lachish in the section, you know, the cross-section, the slice through the layer cake, right? I was his recorder, right-hand man for several years there at Lachish. There would be, you know, you have 50 students digging with you in an area from all walks of life. Many of them students, I mean, Wheaton College groups, I mean, all kinds of people, and they'd get, you know, just a day-to-day exposure to this sometimes eccentric, but, you know, brilliant, brilliant man. And so that would be another venue. Then, of course, when Ketef Hinnom occurred, that changed his whole career in a positive way, but then in a horribly negative way. When this was discovered by Judith Hadley in the sifting, she was another Institute student. We went to Villanova later. She's a Wheaton College grad, Judith Hadley, and she's a real expert on Asherah. She's now, I think, retired. She is one of my dear friends. She was, you know, a terrific friend of Gabi Barkai. But the Ketef Hinnom, this was an epic find, and I mean, absolute epic find. Now, I witnessed this firsthand as his friend and also his student. So, you know, for example, when he was winding up his PhD dissertation, I was an MA student. I was, you know, doing some work with him on his dissertation work. He would read part of his introduction in Hebrew, and I would type it in English, you know, and then he would, you know, correct me for how he wanted to say it. So a long standing, you know, connection there. But when Ketef Hinnom came to light, there were a few scholars, and I, you know, I could easily name names, but there are a few scholars who, of course, everybody claimed, you know, they're the world expert on epigraphy. and you know the unpacking of ancient scripts and writing. So they had rights to publish it. And Gavi Barkai, Professor Barkai, appropriately said, "Hey, I found it. The protocol is that I get to speak on it first, or you know, and get it out there." And there turned a few people turned on what I would call really a jihad against him, the personal and scholarly jihad against him. And he ultimately lost his job at Tel Aviv University because in Israel, a junior lecturer has more articles than a tenured full professor at most American institutions or European institutions. I mean, in Israel, they are publishing powerhouses. And I witnessed up close this devastating personal ad hominem and scholarly assault on this precious man.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with archaeologist John Monson about his friendship with archaeologist Gavi Barkai, who passed away recently.
What I will say is that find has still the silver scroll, silver amulets, there are two of them. Its impact has yet to be digested fully in biblical studies because nobody really goes there as aggressively as they should. But let me put it this way. To have a text from Numbers and to have a text from Deuteronomy that is certifiably dated in its script and its location of, you know, its locus, its finding, dated to just before or after the Babylonian destruction, that places one of the core texts of the Pentateuch minimally at 600 BC. And that absolutely destroys, I will tell you right now, that destroys the JEDP theory and the Wellhausen hypothesis. I mean, with one stroke. Now, that may be an extreme statement. And there are people at U of Chicago, wonderful scholars, you know, Stackert and others who are, I have many friends in the academy, but they are kind of what you might call many of them neo-Wellhausians. They still follow the orthodoxy of Julius Wellhausen, which is basically the priestly source, so-called, is very, very late, maybe even Hellenistic, but, you know, very late, biblically speaking. So even that, that's okay. Even that, you have to say that Deuteronomy and then this text from Numbers in this priestly benediction, you have to say it was worn around the neck of somebody in the days of Jeremiah. So it was already a highly, highly popular thing already in that day. And if that's the case, it has to have had a long life before that, because oral tradition and written tradition. So you've got to go back quite a bit. Take the Dead Sea Scrolls, identical texts from 250 BC until 70 AD, 320 years. Let's even just take that as a model. And I don't think people talk about this, but I teach Dead Sea Scrolls among many things. And I like to say, if you just take the model of the Dead Sea Scrolls of text preservation, and then lots of ethnographic studies all over the world, and you have a text from Numbers that was, you know, everybody would date as a late text, you know, whatever, way, way, way late, post-exilic, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you get it to Jeremiah, you've got to go back several hundred years. And now you're starting to get into, again, destroying, I think, JEDP. So the issue is there, that, of course, gained even more notoriety, probably, you know, after the Dead Sea Scrolls. I mean, it's one of the great finds in biblical archaeology. I was working, getting, I think, triple overtime at an Orthodox Jewish hotel in Jerusalem that summer when I was a teenager. And on the Biblical Backgrounds website, if you go to biblicalbackgrounds.com and you look under archaeology, you'll see me there as a kid digging at Ketef Hinnom. I wanted to earn my Seiko chronometer watch that all my friends were getting for their bar mitzvahs. But my parents were like, hey, you're not having a bar mitzvah and, you know, it's too expensive. So I went and worked because I could be the Sabbath Gentile and speak Hebrew at the Orthodox hotel. So I was making really good money. And this call came from Gavi Barkai, like, we have to dig at night because the Orthodox Jews are on a rampage to try and shut down archaeology and blame it on tombs. And here we're digging a tomb. So we have to be really quiet. We have to dig at night. We got electrical extension cord with light bulbs from our church, St. Andrew's, down into the thing. And even we used some of the garden tools from my family were used. My mom would make sandwiches. I took some time off from that hotel job in the summer to go and dig the repository, 365 intact vessels, which is unheard of in archaeology. And I would pick up an earring and it would still dangle, a cluster of grapes, a silver earring. They're all in the museum now. We'd record it and I'd come up and tell Gabi, look what I found. And he's like, shh, quiet. We don't want people to hear us, you know? I mean, you're picking up an earring that someone wore in their burial a couple decades before the days of Jeremiah. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely epic. So for me, archaeology has been downhill ever since, because you're with the ultimate archaeologist in Jerusalem, the ultimate city, finding the ultimate inscription in an ultimate preserved tomb. Everything is downhill from there. At this moment, when we are in a post-Christian world and a post-biblical church, I really hope, Gordon, you'll showcase that this was one of the giants, a gracious giant, a gracious, unassuming giant who impacted the evangelical world and the scholarly world and the Jerusalem world and biblical studies world. I guess what I want to say, we need to listen to him, because most pastors today don't even know the Bible. And most Christian communities I look at of any denomination are syncretistically overlapped with prevailing theological and philosophical winds of the day. And Gabi, even without intending to be so, represented a kind of anchor in the reality of the Bible and an anchor in the biblical world and the and indirectly even the veracity of Scripture.
That's John Monson, professor of Old Testament and Semitic languages at Trinity International University, summing up the legacy of his dear friend Gabi Barkai, an Israeli archaeologist and scholar who passed away in January 2026. Gabi Barkai was the first of over 300 archaeologists and Bible scholars that we've interviewed and featured on The Book and the Spade over the past 43 years of this program. One of the things we've been able to do over those years is lead groups to the Holy Land so you can see firsthand the biblical landscape and walk in the footsteps of the real people who are written about in the Bible and who wrote the Bible. We have a tour to Turkey coming up this June, and we're nearing the deadline right now for anyone who would like to join us. If you've been considering this trip, we still have room for you. We'll follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul from Antioch to Ephesus. Trip details are at radioscribe.com. We'd love to hear from you. We have lots of other resources online, including breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, plus information on Artifacts, our biblical archaeology news magazine. That's all at radioscribe.com. If you're listening on Spotify or some other podcasting platform, please give us a positive review and let others know about this program. We've recently noticed an uptick of listeners in South Africa, so a shout out to all of you. The discoveries of biblical archaeology give us important context to help us understand the Bible better. And there's always something going on in biblical archaeology, and that's why we could keep doing this weekly radio program now for 43 years. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.